Have you ever seen a call like this to decide a game? Jalen Brunson up and Aaron Holiday shooting motion like he's balancing on a three-legged stool, putting the star on the Christmas tree and falling down. Whistle and free throws and game over. There was a protest in the league last month. Could a protest here with the tie score at the end of regulation, just play overtime, be the play for the NBA? Let's go around the horn. Putting the star on the Christmas tree, my least favorite thing. Actually, let me take that back. Throwing away the Christmas tree is my least favorite thing. But putting the stars,
good point.
No need to wait for the NBA's two-minute report. The refs already admitted they got it wrong. Said they saw it all in post-game review, and Brunson on Holiday was incidental and marginal. A question could be, why is there a post-game review when it's a mid-game review we might need? A protest in the league last month, a protest here would be right. High score at the end of regulation, just play overtime. But also, considering there was not an end of game review, the Knicks had no challenges, and there was no going to the video. Monica McNutt, you are a voice of these New York Knicks. Around the horn to you. Can the league have that game end like that?
No, this is not a thing. This has to be addressed, Tony. Besides that, though, I do want to point out the disparity in free throws. You talk about 21 free throw difference between the Rockets and the Knicks, but that's neither here nor there. The game comes down to a final play. What is the point of reviewing if you cannot get it right when literally the ball game is on the line? This is a larger issue in sports for me. If we're going to employ all this technology, use it in real time. Who cares about the last two-minute report that'll come
out? All right, but the argument that that would be an advantage to the Knicks, they had already used their challenge. You know, they had no reviews. That wasn't going to be fair to the Rockets. You say what?
I say officials are supposed to get the call right. That game would have gone into overtime. Nobody loses. You got to play five more minutes. Strap up. Let's go. It's 0-0.
Israel Gutierrez to you.
Yeah, no, I don't think that you can grant him that ability to sort of review the play when they don't have their review. And to me, it just speaks to the coaches, hey, don't use your challenge in the second quarter. There really isn't a great reason for it. If you win it, if you're 100% sure, okay. But a Taj Gibson foul in the second quarter, I mean, come on, that's not going to change the game. You need to save it for situations just like this. And man, how frustrating it must have been for Jalen Brunson, who just hit the game tying after having a poor game, frankly, in the first half. Lament Thompson just hounding him the entire game. And then playing that defense. And I watched it live. It did look like a foul call, like a foul live. And when they reviewed that, I said, ooh, maybe not, but they can't change it, Tony. You can't change that play and grant the Knicks that review. And so what you basically have to do is keep those reviews, and then the problem with the officiating is making these calls at that moment. We've had a couple situations this year where it's game-deciding calls, and those are ones that you can't, when you say immediately afterward, hey, we make a mistake, everybody's wondering, oh, how can you possibly make that mistake?
Exactly. So then it's twofold here. And I turn to David Dennis Jr. There's the strategy over the challenges and the reviews, but it's the last play of the game. Should there be a review there? And secondly, how did they miss the call in the first place?
Yeah, I feel you, Izzy. But the thing is, in that game, a reverse call at the end of the first half did kind of change the course of the game. There was a three-pointer of DiVincenzo that got reversed, and it actually caused Thibodeau to get a technical foul, which sort of changed the way that that game was going. So, you know, the way to fix that is at the end of the game, just say if there is a one last play that you have that's going to decide the game, that is automatically reviewed. So it doesn't go for one team or another. It's just everybody has, you know, knows that that can be docked. Because this cannot happen. This is a Knicks team that is reeling right now. Half the team is injured. They're fighting for playoff position. And you cost them a game with a bad call. There has to be some sort of apparatus to fix this.
Apparatus. Love the way you say that. And Bill Plaschke, can the NBA have this game ending like it did last night?
It happens. People make mistakes. The referees make mistakes. My biggest problem is, why are they talking about it? Why is the referee, why is Malloy saying anything? Why is there a last two-minute report? The officials make mistakes. Let it be. I don't see the Knicks. The Knicks made 17 turnovers in this game. Do you see them going through film and explain every turnover? No, they're all human beings. Mistakes happen. I think the referees, the transparency, I'm all for transparency in sports, but I think it's just rubbing it in. We all know they missed a call. They all know it should have been a replay. We all know Tibbs should have had his challenge. why is the official still talking about
okay, it? Okay, so you don't want the accountability here, I guess is what you're saying, because in the end.
Tony, there's accountability in the league office. There does need to be a public flogging of the officials after all these games, because we all know they screwed up. The player screwed up. Everybody screws up. It happens.
Monica, back to you on the idea of a protest here. We've seen it before. Would this not be open and shut case for a protest?
No, we're not going to protest. You're not going to play overtime in the complicated scheduling of the NBA world. But I will give Plaschke this. If we're going to have transparency, let's also have the opportunity to correct it, right? The last two-minute report is a thing. Officials talking in the pool reports is a thing. So you're going to get these answers. After the fact, it doesn't matter. Sports is in the moment.
Right.
If we're going to do this, I'm with David. 30 seconds or so in the last 30 seconds of a ball game, reviews are available so that officials can get it right.
Israel, back to you now on the idea of a protest here.
I just wanted to add to David, though, that halftime review, that was started because Ime Udoka challenged it with time out at the end of the second quarter. And that was one of those where it was a good challenge at the half because he knew in the first half, because he knew he was going to get it and take 3 points away off the board. But no, you can't challenge it. This is an official admitting a mistake. Way before the last 2 minutes reports, there were pool reports where the official could potentially admit a mistake. There's nothing you can do about
that. No protest for you either. And David, I ask you, is this something the Knicks should be able to protest?
No, there's not. I mean, they can protest and complain all they want, but you should not have to have the Knicks go back to Houston and play 5 more minutes of the game. There should be something in place where this is fixed immediately. Right. I don't need the ref telling me afterwards. I don't need a 2-minute report. I need somebody to get their head in the booth for 10 seconds, because that's all it takes to look at the plate and say, we got it wrong, let's fix it.
I'll accept the representation. No protest, fine. I'm going to remember that next time any of you have a quibble with certain scoring on this here program. No protest. No peace. We'll
move on. There's no protest allowed here.
Another story from the NBA night last night. Timberwolves beat down the Clippers in L.A. Minnesota had a 40-19 third quarter. Bill Plaschke, out to L.A. to you. Can you make a statement in February? And what type of statement did Minnesota make?
This was an absolute statement. The Timberwolves are legit. The Clippers were 27-6 since December 1st. They were almost unbeatable, and the Timberwolves just shut them down. They have the best defense in the league. They have the best record against road on the road in the league. They got an overwhelmingly great record against teams above 500. They play tremendous defense. They're well coached. Ever since Chris Finch talked about the immaturity of the team, they've grown up. Cat's playing great. Jaden McDaniels is great, a great defensive on the wing. And, of course, Anthony Edwards is a great ball handler and a great scorer. They're a legit team. This is a good team, Tony.
I was wondering if anybody was going to connect the dot to the coach calling out the team in a game 2 weeks ago where Cat had a franchise scoring record. Monica McNutt, to you.
Statement game, I don't know if I'll give you that. I had a Clippers game about a week ago in Miami, and I was talking with Terrence Mann about what this time of year feels like, and he was like, it's repetitive Mondays. So we're in the dog days of the season leading up to All-Star break, but I am in on the Timberwolves in terms of their ability to both defend and score. And in a league where folks have gone to this switchability variety of players that are a little bit on the smaller side, they've leaned into their size, and last night their size is what got it done on the glass and in the paint.
So you have a team with size, a team that plays defense, a team that wins on the road, Israel Gutierrez. Did they make a statement last night in L.A.?
Yeah, they did make a statement, and not all statements have to be, we're going to win the championship. Their statement was, you can't match up with us, L.A. Clippers, and it was pretty obvious. The Clippers went to a lineup where they had Russell Westbrook at the five and trying to see what they can sort of spread out that Timberwolves defense. And when you have Anthony Edwards creating, and this is a stage of a scorer's career like him, maybe comes a little bit later, but when he knows, hey, I got all this talent around me, I'm going to create because I can break down the defense. And defensively, you have that wall behind you. You mentioned Jaden McDaniels, Bill, and Gobert. Those two on the floor are a nightmare for teams. And then you have the versatility of Karl Anthony Towns. You do all that, and you say to the Clippers, what can you do? You are a team that really thrives in the mid-range with Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You're not getting that off around easily around Rudy Gobert. So I think the matchup is what the Timberwolves said here. If you are going to trot out these small team against us, you've got no shot.
Season is all about matchups, right? It's all about styles. David Dennis Jr., I turn to you. Did a February statement have you portend things for these Timberwolves come April and May?
Yeah, the statement here is that the Timberwolves can compete with anybody when they're up to compete with that team. We can talk about it, you know, talk about how they played last night, but this is still a team that, yes, had that embarrassing 60-point cat game. They lost to the Hornets where they looked immature. After that, despite the coach calling them out, they lost to the Bulls. They lost to the Spurs. They've had these, like, brain fart losing games, but last night is what you, the potential of this team. At the end of that second quarter, when that second half started, this team turned off the Clippers' water, 40-19 in that third quarter, the third lowest point total for that Clippers squad all season. They knew how to shut this team down, and they can do this with anybody, but they just have to learn that when it's come playoff time, they have to do this every single night.
I wondered if someone was going to connect dots to the tirade the coach had when the team lacked some maturity and Plaschke did. Then I wondered if anybody's going to look at the schedule and say, wait, they lost to San Antonio and Chicago since then. Plaschke, I'll give you the last word.
They also had the best record against teams the above 500 records, and they beat Milwaukee just a couple nights ago, back-to-back. They also lead the league in fewest layups and dunks. You cannot get to
those. Those are some incredible peripherals. You're right on that. Road wins and defense and wins against team with winning record. We'll take a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase.
It's legendary. I mean, just to be able to, no one's ever done it. And we knew it's legendary to win back-to-back. I think eight other teams have done it. We had heard it all week. We had talked to the guys about it, and we felt like we had the best opportunity that we had ever had to go out there and do that. And we got to continue to play our best football. We'll celebrate these next few weeks, and then we'll get right back at it.
I asked yesterday's panel. I asked today's panel. Now you heard Patrick Mahomes answering a question about the three-peat. Never done in the history of the league, Bill Plaschke. Buy or sell it as a reality that it's possible.
What is Chris Jones going to do? What is L'Jarius Sneed going to do? They have eight to potential free agents on a great, their best defense in the dynasty. If they get hurt defensively, if these players all leave, they're in trouble. So I'm holding my breath on this. I'm saying it's really hard to do this. They'll be the best team ever if they do it, but their defense could get decimated in free agency.
David, how'd you hear Mahomes embracing the chase for three?
I'm embracing it too. Mahomes has now reached that level that I've only seen in my lifetime from a team standpoint since Michael Jordan, where I'm not betting against him until he loses. This team was the one that was supposed to lose. No 1,000-yard receivers, led the league in drops. Offensive line led the league in penalties. The hardest road to the Super Bowl to win the championship in DVOA and ever. And Mahomes and that team was able to do it. So I'm not betting against them until they're actually losing. I think a three-peat is on the
Israel,
table.
Israel, how do you hear Mahomes leading into the idea of three-peat?
Yeah, it was supposed to be hard when they lost Tyreek Hill, and all they've done since then is win the Super Bowl. And so I hear Patrick Mahomes as somebody who, kind of like LeBron James, can sort of set his own storyline. He might not get to seven. He might not, quote unquote, surpass Tom Brady. But hey, three in a row, that's something that he hasn't done. That's something that I could do. And I'm setting it up right now. If I do it, unbelievable. Might be the greatest ever right then and there.
Monica McNutt.
Tony, I'm nailing in on the question you posed. Am I buying it as a possibility? 100%. Because what has this guy done but defy the odds throughout this early stages still, y'all, of his career? Like, we haven't been watching this guy as a pro for that long. So it's absolutely a possibility.
Buy or sell to Victor Wembanyama last night. Here's how he came dressed to the game like Slim Grim Death. And then he brought demise onto the Raptors like they hadn't seen since the asteroid. 27 points, 14 rebounds, 10 blocks. His best play may have been a pass. David, what is a block triple-double by a 20-year-old?
It's something we have not seen from a rookie, a block triple-double, since David Robinson did it in 1990. I said when this guy was drafted that his floor was Rudy Gobert-like defense, and that is what he is, not to mention the offense. He also leads the league in hell knowledge, which we should count as an official stat, which is the player going to the paint and seeing him and saying hell no and going to the other side of the court. If people were actually trying to shoot over him, he'd average 10 blocks a game.
Israel Gutierrez. Slow down there, buddy. Israel.
Frankly, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten here yet. Like, this was one of those things that you knew was going to happen. You know, back, shout out Hassan Whiteside, nobody's doing it with blocks. We knew Vic was going to do it with blocks. What's crazy about him right now is already that three-point shot is coming together. His last 13 games shooting 39% okay. From three. Never thought we'd see that sort of number this early.
Monica McNutt.
I've had two Spurs games so far this season, and a couple things stand out. They are very deliberate in the language that they use to describe Victor Wembanyama. They do not call him a center. His physique and his skill set is unlike what we've seen in the league so far. And so I think, to his credit, as he talked about the rhythm as this game began, Coach Popovich has been like, y'all, he still doesn't even get it, in the most complimentary way in terms of his upside. That game was an example of him really putting it together.
Let me ask you a follow-up. The timeline. Are you adjusting the timeline here on both Wembanyama's takeover, but also where the Spurs begin to look like a team with one of the great players of the game?
Well, they're in the bottom of the standings right now. They'll probably be back in the lottery. This draft class hasn't necessarily gotten people really excited. But to me, you're talking about 3 years at the most before this team should be making some noise with this level of talent.
Oh, 3 years? Okay, that's too. Even longer than I thought you might say. Bill Plaschke, you.
Jacob Poeltl is 7 feet tall, and his shot was blocked four times by Victor. Four times. It's amazing just watching him. He doesn't even leave the floor. He just raises his hands, and he blocks shots. I've never seen anything like it. He's on a pace to have the most block shots in the NBA in eight years.
No, I've never seen anything like it either when someone makes an argument around blocking Jacob Poeltl, the Turtles shot. Real quick, since David,
Come on,
I love that you were cooking. With 10 blocks per game, you know what the NBA record is, blocks per game?
Probably did it, maybe eight.
Well, they weren't tracking seven, it exactly, eight. But with
Olajuwon. Olajuwon, maybe
in,
five.
In the track era, it's Mark Eaton, 5.5 a game.
Oh, 5.5. We're close.
We'll move
close.
On. Buy or sell three. College basketball now. I got a question for you guys. A top 10 team has lost to an unranked team on the road how many times this year? Anybody want to guess? Whoever's closest.
33.
Plaschke. I didn't even finish the question.
Wow, Plaschke?
The buzzers weren't even on. He got it in. 33 times. It's an amazing stat. So nobody, I mean, people have struggled. Kansas has struggled in that situation all year long. Top 10 team on the road. And they went out last night by 29 at Texas Tech. And Bill Self got ejected for the first time ever at Kansas. He said he didn't curse. Maybe he said a magic word, but he didn't curse. Israel, what do you buy? What do you sell from Kansas's 20-point loss at Texas Tech?
I'm not going to let Bill Self take away from Texas Tech guard Darian Williams. Let me give you his stat lines real quick, okay? 100% shooting from the field, 100% shooting from three-point range, 100% shooting from the free throw line. He was 12 for 12 from the field, 31 points, 11 rebounds. He had a perfect game, and they beat Kansas on the road. No, Bill Self cannot take the shine off.
All right, you've come to praise. Mountain McNutt, you? What are you buying? What are you selling?
Well, because of this occurrence, Bill Self's first ejection, I today also learned that in 42 years at Duke, 47 if you include Army, Coach K was never ejected either. And also, I'm totally buying just the mayhem of college basketball. There's no one dominant team.
Bill Plaschke?
Yeah, Darian Williams was great. And guess what, Izzy? He was a transfer. With transfers portal open and everybody going to all different teams, it's going to be March Madness. Teams are nobody's guaranteed anything this March, and this game showed it. This game proved
David
it.
David Dennis Jr.
I'm selling the ejection. Bill Self has not been ejected from a game this century, and that's what gets it done, saying joke and maybe some magical word. It should probably take some table throwing and some...
Oh, you were lip reading? You saw him say the word joke? Like, you're a joke? Or yeah, do you want to hear a joke and maybe he told a bad joke and that was it, you're out of here.
No. Bad joke?
Yeah, that's the only magic word I could think of.
That'll be it for David Dennis Jr. and Monica. You got good stuff today. Bill Plaschke. And Israel Gutierrez, that's our show.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Shohei Ohtani's first batting practice on video with the Dodgers. Take a look at this. Just gorgeous. What is the level of wow? Try to contain yourself, Bill Plaschke.
Wow. 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 Wow.
All right. Wait, wait, wait. Wow. All right. Wait. Yeah. Okay. Maybe this was in hindsight, not the best way. All right. And Israel Gutierrez, please.
Very specific answer, Bill. First of all, the balls flying into the sun, I mean, flying into the sky, looked amazing. That's why you do spring training in Arizona. But I didn't even think he could play yet. And he's doing this after that surgery? I mean,
he's going to hit this year. He's going to absolutely hit this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bill Plaschke just gave us a I'll have what he's having moment on on daytime television sports show. We'll give the point to Bill. Showdown 2. Tiger Sunday Red. That's the name of the new brand with TaylorMade. Since he left Nike, he's going with Tiger Sunday Red. There's the wardrobe, the gear, the logo you might see also. It's a tiger. Fashion do or fashion don't, Israel?
No, it's a fashion paw. I like it. And paw for Tiger. I like the idea of looking at the Tiger instead of looking for a Nike check for him. But that one space between the sun and the day, kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't get it. Bill Plaschke?
I think it works. I think Tiger is still the most popular golfer out there. I think the older crowd, which golfing skewers, will love this. This is a great idea. I'll buy it.
I didn't get the Tiger logo. It looks like a Tiger, but I didn't get it. Then somebody told me every stripe of the Tiger was the Majors one. All right, if you say that, I guess that's okay. I still would have gone with a more athletic, stylish Tiger. We'll give Bill Plaschke, our athletic, stylish Tiger, the FaceTime today.
Wow, thank you. I want to point out, everybody talking about Caitlin Clark being the best player in college basketball, women's college basketball. There's a player out here at USC, Juju Watkins, Judea Skies Watkins, the second leading scorer, 27.5 points a game. She's a freshman. She wears Mambacita shoes in honor of Kobe Bryant. She stays in the gym all night after they lose games. She's an incredible player. Watch her for the tournament. She will outplay Caitlin Clark. She will be the best player in the country by the end of the tournament.
Oh, there it is.
Wow. Gave him just enough time.
Hey.
And of course she plays in Los Angeles. It's amazing how every FaceTime Bill does. Congrats on today's win, Bill. David, Israel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow.